Coming up on today's show.
At the tomb of St. Bernadette, I started giving her this laundry list. I knelt down on my knees and I was just at it, right? You know, you got to pray for this. And I heard two words, tell him.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, the SiriusXM app, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net or catholicsportsradio.com. They will both get you to the same place. Be sure that you have signed up there for the free Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter that gets sent out every Monday. Social media for this show, Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram, all of which there are links for at the top of the website. I invite you to engage with me and the show through one or more of those. You will recall I had highlighted when we hit the 1,000 followers milestone on X, formerly Twitter, in late May. And then 10 or so days ago, I posted on social media for this show a screenshot of a post, a tweet, that for all intents and purposes went viral on there, on X. Drew Haddad, the former NFL wide receiver who was the guest 3 weeks ago, had posted on X, and it had 648 likes, 79 retweets, 13 comments. Whew, and wow, more than 651,000 impressions, views. So I had expressed my delight, but also my prayer, that it would translate to more new listeners to this show, ongoing, not just to that one episode he was on. So really, folks, the social media engagement can only help. Meanwhile, the Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group whose members are both listeners and some past guests. There is no cost to join that. The quick way to find it is the big white button that is immediately below my picture near the top of the homepage of catholicsportsradio.net. I really enjoy hearing from listeners. Social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. Back in the first round of the NHL playoffs, there were some really crushing hits in the Tampa Bay Lightning-Florida Panthers series, and I'm talking about the kind where fans, coaches, players, management want suspensions. We see this in baseball, too, when a player gets hit by a pitch or brushed back or the occasional bat flip and maybe accompanying facial expression, a stare at the pitcher that seems to be covered in tension. The NBA playoffs see their share of these incidents as well, especially when a flagrant foul is called. But the overriding factor here is intent. Was the athlete carrying themselves in a manner that had ill intent? How do we carry ourselves in our daily lives? Do people see us living out the gospel, or are we too looking to provoke someone into confrontation? Satan is the architect of the latter, and we need to stick to the former as we pursue eternity in heaven. In the Old Testament, Psalms chapter 37 says the following in verses 23 and 24, quote, "The valiant one whose steps are guided by the Lord, who will delight in his way, may stumble, but he will never fall, for the Lord holds his hand," end quote. Or to read it from the New Living Translation, quote, "The steps of good men are directed by the Lord. He delights in each step they take." Moving on now with this week's episode. As a student athlete, my guest lettered in basketball and track, including having been all district in basketball in her junior year. Present day, she enjoys swimming, walking, jogging, dancing, and yes, basketball. On the faith side, she is an author, Catholic coach, and speaker, and has a story about having met Mother Teresa, which we will hear about today. Her current writing projects include Pray With Us, A Saint for Every Day, The Three Works of Reparation, God's Divine Mercy for Our Times, as well as making a Catholic edition of her book, My Therapeutic Lifestyle Changes Workbook, Creating a Comprehensive Plan for a Calm, Ordered Life, Second Edition, which contains information and planning for exercise in all forms, including setting goals for sports and sports teams. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Belinda Taro Mooney.
Hi, Bruce. It's great to be with you today.
Thank you so much, Belinda. I appreciate you making time to be on the show. There was nothing geographic in what I just read off, so get us started, Belinda, by telling us where you were born and raised and what the family size was.
Sure. I was born and raised in Southwest Louisiana, Cajun country, in the Lafayette area of Louisiana. We had my two parents and four children, and I was the oldest.
And what was the boy-girl breakdown of the four children?
So we had three girls and one boy. So girl, girl, boy, girl.
Okay. Tell us about the presence of the Catholic faith in the household when you were a young girl.
Okay. So I would witness my dad every night saying his prayers next to his bed before he got into bed. And my mom saying her rosary in the bed at night. Those were just daily occurrences in my life. And they would take us to Mass every Sunday, got us our sacraments. And so it was just a regular household. We didn't go to Catholic schools or anything like that. But I always had a sense of God as my father since I was very, very little. So just a lot of piety as I was growing up within myself. And I think a good example from my parents growing up.
Well, let's jump over to sports. I mentioned that you lettered in track and basketball. Two questions here. The first question is, how did you get started into playing sports in the first place as a young girl?
Right. Well, I started with 4-H. It's an organization where you can get all kind of projects. And we had basketball teams in 4-H at that time. And so at about 11, 12 years old, I was playing basketball, 7th, 8th grade, whatever. But then we lived at such a small community in the little area that I was in, that there was no girls basketball until I was in the 10th grade. So I couldn't play basketball for the school basketball team because there was none. And the first year, unfortunately, the lady teacher that they got to teach us, we all knew more than she did. So that wasn't a very good thing. But the next year, we had a coach who really ran us to death. And that's when I was in the best shape of my life. It was just an amazing time. And I have so many things, especially when I was playing basketball and under the boards and people were on my back because I had learned how to get the good position, but I was smaller than them. You know, like they might have been 2 inches taller than me and like twice around as wide because I was very thin in high school. And I just, you know, I learned that, you know, you either get tough or you get out, and I wasn't getting out. So I asked God to help me get tough, and I ended up pulling one of them when they were over my back to get the ball. I just pulled her and the ball over, and I ended up with the ball. So it's just those kind of stories that I just love to tell because it was a time in my life when it was difficult at the school that I was at. There was some bullying and stuff, but basketball made me feel like I was strong. Basketball helped me through that time. And so I played basketball, and then we finally had track. I think that was in my 11th grade. And so I ran track too and did pretty well in the hurdles and the shorter races. I can do more endurance now, but then that was not my favorite. You had to put a ball in my hand for me to be able to run 2 games in a row. I couldn't have done that on a track. So it's just a good time in my life, especially as a young woman, to feel that my body was strong. It was something that God had given me to help me through this life, and I was in the best shape of my life. And that's when I made the all-district team in my junior year.
Yeah, the second part of my question is exactly that, because I wonder, for someone who not only was all-district in basketball, but you even had a game where you scored 33 points and probably would have had more if the coach hadn't taken you out, why did you not go on to play college basketball?
Well, because at 5'8", I was short for a college ball, and they didn't teach me how to dribble. So unlike my friend Jokic on the Denver Nuggets, unlike him, I couldn't play all the positions on the court. I played forward, center, I jumped center, and I also I did a whole bunch of rebounding and then just a whole bunch of shooting. But I didn't know how, or I felt like I didn't know how to dribble. Now, any time that our guards were having trouble and I got the ball and started dribbling, everybody was, oh, my gosh, but I never lost that ball. Like when I got sick to death of them losing the ball, I took it and I dribbled it down. So I know that had someone taught me, I probably could have played basketball in college. But I didn't feel like I was too short to play my positions and not knowledgeable enough in dribbling and being a guard to do that in college. So I let it go. And it was a great loss. I still have regrets about that. But I tried some pickup ball in college right when I first got there. But it was too much of people who didn't know what they were doing, and I was going to get hurt. I had already had injuries to my ankles playing regular ball. And so I just felt like, no, I need to let it go. So now the basketball I play is myself and my son, who I've taught, you know.
I see.
But, yeah, so that's kind of where I went after that. I unfortunately had to grieve that, you know.
Mm. Well, some of your credentials include the Order of Carmelites Discalced Secular, the Catholic Writers Guild, the Communion of Catholic Coaches. The list goes on. Where I'm going with this is, was there a moment in your life, Belinda, was there a significant event where you felt called to a vocation wherein you would live out your Catholic faith as we were hearing that you're doing?
Oh, yeah. Well, in about the ninth grade, when I was trying to discern what God wanted me to do for a profession, I hadn't discerned my state in life yet, but I was discerning a professional vocation, and I really felt a call to social work at that point in time. Everything kept leading me back to some way to help people. And as a social worker, I got into addictions and became very good at that. And so for the first 10 years after my master's, I was just full out of the block doing social work and addictions. And then I came home to homeschool my family. And now, as I'm a widow and my children have grown, I have now then come back to helping. But instead of doing therapy, I'm doing coaching, which is easier for me because coaching doesn't go back into the past and the pain. It stays in the present and moves into the future. What goals you want to set, just like the improvement that an athlete would have with a coach trying to move them forward in their performance, you know, in whatever sport they're playing. Same thing with life coaches. We're just doing it with the rest of life, you know?
Interesting. So. Interesting. It sounds like you were being prayerful, though, when you said in ninth grade you were trying to discern your vocation, what the Lord was calling you to professionally. Were you being prayerful, asking God to show you where he wanted you to head in a professional direction?
Oh, absolutely, yes. I went back and forth. I have a number of different talents and gifts, so there were a number of things I could have done, probably about five different professions I was looking at, and I kept going back and forth and back and forth, and I kind of kept coming back to, but this one helps people more, but this one can help people more. Oh, but B, you could make so much difference over here in people's lives. You could help them more. So I just kept coming back to that. And so I still teach in human services, and I still have my licenses in social work and addictions. I'm just not using that as a therapist or anything or an addictions counselor. I'm teaching it right now.
I see.
I love human services, and I love the people going into human services. They're really trying to help people, and I'm trying to help them not burn out by using their therapeutic lifestyle changes.
You have done pilgrimages to France, Spain, the Netherlands, and Belgium. Share with the audience the common thread that runs throughout all four of those.
Well, I feel like when you go to a country that has all these saints, and especially if it's saints that you have a personal relationship with. I love many, many saints in heaven, and I've researched a whole lot of them for the book that we're going to talk about later, Pray With Us. But these saints are my friends, and they help me when I'm asking them to pray, just like you, Bruce, you know, would help me if I asked you to pray. They're helping me. And so when I was younger, I always wanted to meet up with Saint Bernadette. So when I was in France, I got a chance to go at her reliquary. She's actually in Corrupt, and she's in a glass case, and you can go right there and kneel, and she's about 10 feet from you. It's not like you can touch her or anything like that, but you can kneel and pray with her. And then I also got to go to Saint Teresa of Avila, a lot of the foundations that she did, and lo and behold, all these years later, I was secular Carmelite. But it was just amazing. So, and then when we were in France, we were also able to go to, I've been participating for many years and promoting the work of reparation through devotion to the Holy Face. It's along with the Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart, the three works of reparation that I'm writing about now. And so I was able to go to Leo DuPont's oratory. It's like a townhouse, but they've turned it into a church now, like a small chapel. And the downstairs was where he would pray with people in front of the picture of the Holy Face, and they would leave their crutches and walk out healed, you know. So he's venerable now, and his tomb is there. And so is Sister Marie Pierre, who had all the revelations about this work of reparation through devotion to the Holy Face. So I got to visit them, and just St. Margaret Mary's. But the thing that was really interesting, if anybody gets to go to Paris and they are at the Miraculous Meadow, St. Catherine Labouré is underneath, she's in a glass case, incorrupt, underneath the altar. And when you walk up to the altar, you wouldn't notice it, but if you go all the way to the left and you look over to the right, see that her eyes are opened. That was just the weirdest thing. Her eyes are open, but you can't see it if you're looking at her straight on. But anyway, that kind of experience and praying with Saint Jean Vianney, Saint Margaret Mary, Alacoque, you know, it's just their incorrupt bodies. It's just an amazing feeling. And not too far from Saint Catherine Labouré, just right up the road, is Saint Vincent de Paul, and he's like in a glass case up on top of the altar. He's not actually incorrupt, but they have like a wax face and figures, and he looks so real. He looks like he's just lying there.
Wow.
So it's just a lot of grace when you go on pilgrimages, and I do recommend it, even if it's just around where you live, if there are any saints' relics or anything, you can go to your church and pray with the relics there as well.
Wow. Wow. Great insight. Great insight. And that's great advice. Friends, as we are hearing, just like the point of my ministry with sports, you can incorporate the Catholic faith into daily life and not let it just be reserved for Mass on Sunday. In fact, there is even a place for our faith life in an unexpected action such as our banking. Did you know that credit unions, which were created to compete with banks by focusing on the individual, have deep roots in the Catholic community? Alliance Catholic Credit Union has continued that proud tradition, serving the Catholic community for almost 70 years. Alliance Catholic provides their members with the most up-to-date tools to manage their money while giving back to Catholic schools, parishes, and organizations. If being a part of a Catholic credit union instead of a big bank is interesting to you, visit AllianceCatholic.com and put your money where your faith is. Of course, do let them know you heard them on Catholic Sports Radio. Federally insured by NCUA. Okay, by all means, we have to hear Belinda's story about having met Mother Teresa. Wow. First, though, I need to issue a clarification. I need to do a bit of housekeeping because, well, hold on a second. I'm overdue on saying this first, but I do hope that you listen immediately when you press start each week and that you do not skip ahead through the intro. I am saying that live each week. It's not something that's pre-recorded and dropped in. Many times, in fact, I'm passing along something new in there, which is why it is important that you do not skip ahead. Case in point, at the start of today's episode, when I made a reference to the viral tweet after former NFL wide receiver Drew Haddad was on this show 3 weeks ago. So anyhow, back to my clarification, my housekeeping note. On that interview with Drew Haddad, I thanked Mark from Georgia for having sent in a financial gift to my Catholic Sports Radio ministry, and I mentioned that he was doing that in response to the challenge that Bud McFarlane, my guest on the last installment of this show for April, had issued on episode 326. So I want to set the record straight and thank Bud McFarland because he not only matched but doubled Mark's donation. And this is timely too because I decided to boost the Drew Haddad episode, which came with a $100 price tag to do, but it's necessary if I'm going to keep trying to grow the Catholic Sports Radio audience. So that $100 spend is just one example of how your financial gift to Catholic Sports Radio can help me with my ministry. I am optimistic that, like Mark in Georgia and Bud McFarland, you too are seeing value in the work that I put into keeping this show going every week, every month, more than 6 years now without missing once, and that you are enjoying Catholic Sports Radio and it is helping you in your faith life. Please pray as to your participation in this ministry by way of an offering, a virtual collection basket, as I called it on last week's show. I encourage you to utilize the blue Donate to CSR button on the website. That method is fast, easy, and secure, and will allow you to use a credit card, debit card, or even PayPal to electronically send in a contribution. That is how Bud McFarland sent in his gift to match and exceed what Mark had contributed through the challenge. Alternatively, since I know some people do not like putting payment information on the internet, you can get in touch with me through social media, the website, or email for details on sending a check through the mail. Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net is how you can write to me. And then regardless of which method you use, the blue Donate to CSR button on the website or mailing me a check, with your permission, I will happily say your name on the air on an upcoming episode of the show as a public thanks, as you are hearing me do on this episode with my expression of gratitude to Bud McFarland. Or as some have instructed me to do, you can ask to remain anonymous. I'm grateful for your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to move more people closer to Christ through the mix of faith and sports. Belinda, tell us about your having met Mother Teresa, now known as Saint Mother Teresa.
Yes. Well, she was in Baton Rouge for the opening of a house for mothers who were pregnant. So it's like a crisis pregnancy home, but her sisters were going to be staffing this home. And this was when she was coming just to make sure that everything was okay and officially opening the home. And she was getting ready to leave, and I just knew that I was supposed to go ask her to pray for me because I've been an intercessory prayer warrior myself most of my life, but this is like on a whole other level, right? This is a living saint that you know can really move God's heart. And so she was about to leave, and I went up to the car, and I said, Mother, can I talk to you? And she said, yes. So I reached my hand in, and I grabbed her hand. I said, Mother, would you please pray for my family? And she just looked at me, and she said, I will. So I had that understanding, and I wrote to her a couple of times, and she replied both times herself. She said, I write all my letters myself, you know.
Wow.
So I still have those two letters from Mother Teresa,
wow,
which is after I had met her before. So, yeah, I have a connection to Saint Teresa of Calcutta now, and I'm sure she's still praying for me because she's still one of my patrons.
Amazing. Let's bring sports back into the conversation. I am interested to hear about your book, My Therapeutic Lifestyle Changes Workbook, Creating a Comprehensive Plan for a Calm, Ordered Life, second edition, which contains information and planning for exercise in all forms, including setting goals for sports and sports teams. Please explain.
Sure. Well, as I was coming back into the field of human services and all that I was doing after I had stopped homeschooling my children and I was coming back to work, I learned that the therapeutic lifestyle changes are really neuroscience-based and they are very well researched. And if you use them right, even people with clinical depression might not have to go on meds because they're just that effective. And so I thought, oh my gosh, I can make a real difference again. I could help my students if we start putting this into their lives, and then I could help their clients through them because they'll help them put into their lives. So whereas most times people will think of these things like exercise, which is of course includes sports and all, sleep, and nutrition. Those three are the big ones that people know, but spiritual, relationships, creativity, self-discipline, like there are a number of other ones. And so I felt like there's nothing out there except for my book that's written like this with all of them in it. There are some other things that we'll use, just like wellness domains or wellness areas or whatever, and they'll put out information about them. But what I wanted to do was I wanted to work, since I had written at least four or five books before that, I knew I could write a book that would help my students, because they were taking the template that I used, that I had written for them, and they were using that, but they weren't remembering what I had told them in the classroom when they got to their computer at night. So I wrote the whole thing, three chapters, and they're not long. It's not a big book. So you can actually just start writing out your goals. And I talk about how you write out your current status, what you're doing or what you're not doing. It's not a judgment. It's just a fact. What are you doing? What are you not doing? What would you like to do? That's all current status. And when you say, I will, and you put down what you're actually going to do, and not just, I will eat better, but I will eat this of this, I'll eat two more vegetables with each meal, I'll, you know, whatever you're going to make, it's got to be specific. But instead of just say, go write a SMART goal, I've got a formula where I actually show you what that looks like. I've got all kind of examples in the front of the book before you get to chapter four, where you're actually writing them down. So all these different areas then have a current status, projected goal, and then the strengths to achieve the goal.
Wow.
And those strengths in the revised edition, I'm going to expand to include like Clifton strengths or virtues or, you know, that kind of thing. So that's what I'm doing right now. I'm revising my regular edition. This will be the second edition of the workbook that should be coming out probably in the next 2 to 3 months, because this work of reparation is probably going to get it first. And the 3 weeks of reparation, that book is coming out. And then this one will probably be finished after that. And then from that one, I'll make a Catholic edition, because I'll go back in and put goals that are more specific to Catholic audiences. Like I'll do the Amen app immediately upon waking so that I can do the scripture readings for the day and meditate on them, you know?
I see.
So that's kind of what that does. It helps you to set goals in all these areas. So if you want to set more goals with an actual athletic coach, you can put that under your exercise, and you can do even graduated goals where I'll do this now, I'll do this in 3 months, I'll do this in a year, you know, like, so it doesn't have to be where you just try to set up everything at one time and you're failing because it's way too big a goal. You can set smaller graduated goals.
Yeah, it's much more realistic. And audience, I am going to have a link on the show page for this episode on CatholicSportsRadio.net to Belinda's website so that you can go and get more information about all these different books that she has done and that we are talking about. Belinda, there have been a handful of guests on this show from Belmont Abbey College, which, for those who don't know, is Catholic. Interestingly, even though that school is in North Carolina and you are, I believe, in Texas, you have done some work with Belmont Abbey College. Explain how so.
Yes, well, all my life I wasn't able to go, like I had said earlier, to a Catholic school, but I wanted to. And I wanted to work at a Catholic college because I've taught at Georgia State, Oglethorpe. That's in the Atlanta area in my former 10 years that I was working postmaster. And then now I'm teaching at a small community college, LSC Montgomery, in this time of life, but I've never taught at a Catholic college. So I was looking and looking, and finally I found Belmont Abbey, and they were looking for someone to help them to develop an online program for addictions. Well, that's exactly up my alley. Mm. And so I was able to at least help them with the first course, but unfortunately they decided to take the online course in-house, and I'm settled in Texas, so I can't move over there. But I did help them with the first course, the introductory course. So I felt like that was amazing because I had gotten to actually support a Catholic college, you know, with what I can do. So that was good.
Yeah, very nice. Very nice. As we've heard a couple of times, and folks, this is actually as of last November, you are a definitively professed secular discalced Carmelite. Tell us more about that.
Well, that's a really joyful thing in my life. The secular Carmelites are actually part of the Carmel order. There's the friars, the nuns, and the seculars. And so diocesan priests can be a secular Carmelite. Regular people, lay faithful, which are the most of us, can be a secular Carmelite. I think that Pope John Paul II was a secular Carmelite. So I went through this process for about 6.5 years of formation in aspirancy, and then toward my first promise, and then after the first promise toward my definitive. And November the 9th, I was able to make my definitive promise. So it's a really wonderful thing. We pray the Liturgy of the Hours. We read, you know, different things. So different things for our formation group as definitives, and then community things that we're reading that we share in the whole community. So we keep going with our formation. We're never finished. We're learning more about how to pray in an intimate way, because our charism is to know God so as to make him known. So it's really beautiful. That's why St. Teresa and St. John of the Cross did so much work with prayer and mysticism, because they want people to know God and to have that deep relationship. And St. Teresa said, you know, Jesus has so few friends. Let us be the very best. You know, so that's what we're striving to be, the best friends ever.
Ooh, I like that. And that goes for all of us, whether we're part of some religious order as lay people or not.
Right. That's right. And that's why I was sharing it, because, like, you don't have to be a secular Carmelite to listen to her words. My goodness, we listen to all the things, right? That's why they wrote them.
So, amen. Amen. And on that note, I'm glad that you said that, because I would like to close by having you talk about your book, Pray With Us, A Saint for Every Day, because it has been noticeable to me how many guests come on this show that really are strong proponents for praying to the saints. So, Belinda, let's wrap up by having you share about that element of prayer life in your book, because I think this is an encouraging note that we can finish on.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I read many years ago, when I first started homeschooling my children, I read something about St. Gertrude the Great. And it really, really impacted me very deeply to my core. It was just that, as a woman, she's the only female to be called the Great. You know, a lot of men who were called the Great, but she's the only woman to be called the Great. And there's so many reasons for that. That would be a whole other program. But one of the things that she said was that Jesus told her the saints are the most powerful on their feast day. So I've been praying this way as an intercessory prayer person for many, many years, where if I know what the saint is on the calendar, who the saint is for the day, that's their feast day, okay, I'll pray with them for all my people that I'm praying for, right? All who are mine is how I call them. But I just couldn't get it out of my mind. I could never get it out of my mind that I was supposed to tell other people about this, because not many people are reading St. Gertrude the Great. They don't even know about her, right? So, I mean, she's huge because she got both works of reparation, the Holy Face and the Sacred Heart, way before Sister Maria or St. Margaret Mary got all the formal things about how to inaugurate the works, kind of thing. Okay, but going back to that, I've had this idea to write a book where I would give people an easy way to pray. And when I was at the tomb of St. Bernadette, that I told you about earlier, I started giving her this laundry list. I knelt down on my knees and I was just at it, right? You know, you got to pray for this. And I heard two words, tell him. It was just like this thought, or these two words just ran through my mind and my body, tell him. And I'm kind of looking around, and over there to the left, further to the back, is the tabernacle. I didn't see it when I walked in, because I really made a beeline to the railing to pray with my sister, right?
Interesting.
I'd always wanted to meet her. And so, okay, so I'm telling him, so you want me to tell him and you're going to be with me? And I understood, yes. So now what I wanted to do is I wanted to give people what I had learned from St. Gertrude, that is, pray with them on their feast day, and they're the most powerful, and tell him while they're praying with you. So I thought, okay, well, I'm going to write a book where I'm going to have a short bio and a quote, which the quote kind of got incorporated sometimes into the top. I'm going to have to put all those quotes that I looked up into a different book, because those kind of got taken out. But we have the bio still and the prayer. And the prayer, we talk directly to the saint for a minute, like, thank you for this, your courage in here. But then pray with us. And then we start merciful Father, gentle Father, dear Father, like, and we talk directly to our Father with them praying with us. And right before we end, I had in parentheses, add your own intentions here for each of those entries, but they took that out in the editing. But I want people to know that if you get the book, add your petitions there.
Okay.
Your petitions that you want for all the people you're praying for and yourself. And all in all, it's about 3 or 4 minutes. It makes a great addition to whatever you're doing for whatever your prayer times, and families are using it with their kids before or after their rosary, because it's not a big long deal.
Yeah.
The children don't have to be waiting longer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what I see is little kids learning about the saints and learning to pray in power from a very early age. And we just got this army of people, young, old, and everything in between,
Fantastic.
Who are praying in the church in power with the saints on their feast days.
Fantastic.
You know, I would say, when you know the saint whose feast day is the day that you're having a big game or a race or whatever you're doing, I mean, you just ask them to pray with you and ask our Father to help you do what he's giving you to do. I mean, and you're going to do better than you would have had you not. I have seen so many things happen when I was praying with these saints on their feast day, and I've come to understand this is why St. John Vianney would always say, oh, well, St. Philomena did it to pray for them. He'd go directly to her. She's a martyr. She was about 12 or 13 when she died, and he would go to her, and she'd get everything they were asking for. And so people would come back to him, oh, you're a saint. And he'd go, no, I asked her, and she got it. I mean, and now I understand he was really telling the truth. He wasn't trying to even be humble. He was just telling the truth.
That's
which
right.
is humility. But
that's
what I'm
right.
saying is, it wasn't like he was trying to defer from himself. Because that's what's happened to me. So many things I asked for through these saints we've gotten. And it's because they are pure, they are holy, and they are before the face of God. And so
fantastic.
We're getting it done.
Yeah. And I can hear the enthusiasm and how heartfelt you're sharing that with us. It's a wonderful way to end our conversation, because it's very uplifting. An audience, it's something that you will want to take to heart, and something that, as Belinda mentioned, really only adds a few minutes to your prayer time each day. So thank you so much, Belinda, for telling us about that book, your other books, for the time that you've given. I've really enjoyed the conversation. Thank you for being on Catholic Sports Radio today.
Thank you so much, Bruce. I'll be praying for you and everybody who's listening and everybody who uses. I'm already praying for everybody who uses any of my books, especially Pray With Us, The Saint for Every Day. So I'll be praying for y'all.
Thank you. Audience, let's close this week's episode with our sportsman's prayer and do it together right now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, you have blessed us with our minds, our spirits, and our bodies. Help us always to be good sports. Help us to understand that when we put on the team uniform, we are first and foremost ambassadors of the Catholic faith. May we always remember that those with whom we play and compete are our brothers and sisters in Christ. May we always treat each other with dignity and respect. May our work and play always give you honor and glory. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, X, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those. C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.